So welcome.
Thank you.
It is great to be with you. People that I know and I love, Tricia, Taylor, and Victor Chow, they are not only faith walkers, but they are great coaches and facilitators and people who are trying to walk the talk, right, of the things that we learn in faith walking, the community. Very influential for many. So thank you for being here and giving your time. And so we would like to start some kind of dialogue and conversation. You know, one of the questions I always have in my mind is how faith walking is useful, right? Because it's not about faith walking ultimately, right? But how is this useful in our lives? And so I love to ask your thoughts. We are living very special times, right? You just have to watch the news or read the news, whatever you choose to do your news dose every day. And there's a lot of anxiety there. I like the way that a friend pastor put it and say, since 9/11, right, this is the next or as, he's experiencing as much chronic anxiety, it makes sense, in people in his congregation in times like we are. And this is the way that I will put it, or I like to frame our conversation. It is not about actually choosing sides or defining sides or talking about political parties or ideologies or whatever things we are experiencing. But it is more like we are aware of polarization, right? Polarized thinking in our society. People who do a good job defining who they are and, you know, what they believe, but they become a bit too defined, but not very well connected, or at least it's not helpful to be connected that way, right? And so, and that has an impact. We see violence. I think there's fear, and there are a lot of opinions. And probably what we are not looking is for another opinion, right? But this is the question. So how what we are learning in faith walking is helpful to live better in these times? You know, how do you think about it? And Tricia, if you would like to.
What you're describing is something that we deal with in Faith Walking 201, which is learning the capacity to stay defined, to be able to say, this is what I believe, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I'm going to do, while at the same time letting other people define themselves, say what they're going to say, think what they think, feel what they feel, do what they're going to do. And in the midst of all that, stay connected appropriately to the relationship. And so, you know, thinking about, that's a lot to take on. And one of the most helpful tools for me goes back to the very first session of the very first Faith Walking retreat, where we talk about listening and where we say, you know, there is a whole realm of things that we don't know that we don't know. And the spike in anxiety in recent days has shown me that there was a lot that I didn't know that I didn't know. And the way we say that you get access to that is by a different way of listening. Listening from a place of curiosity instead of listening from a place of right or wrong. Do I agree with you or do I disagree? What do I need to say to put you in your place or to correct you or, you know, to help you be right like I'm right? Instead, we ask, you know, all of us to set aside right and wrong thinking and instead say, how do I stay curious and wonder what is in this that I don't even know that I don't know?
Yeah. It will be really hard to assume that we know everything about that other side.
Right.
The truth is that we act that way.
We act like, oh yes, 3 to 9 seconds we know it takes before we have formed an opinion about what, you know, what we think about what that other person is saying. And we can't possibly know. Yeah. In 3 to 9 seconds.
Yeah. That is great. So listening and being curious, it takes an openness, right? And that's actually a good place, you know, instead of a defensive place.
Right.
It takes an openness to wonder and consider, so what is that other person really, what is saying?
Yeah, and that openness is so important because in polarized times, we take a stand, us against them. Okay. You know, that's the nature of polarization. And so what happens is we think that being open means agreeing. And, you know, what I like about what we say is let's just take agree, disagree off the table for a little while, just so we can listen. It doesn't mean that I don't get to have my opinions, but it means that I can be open to hearing something else.
That's great. Victor, how do you think about it? I mean, this is great, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's really helpful, Tricia. Thank you. And helps to refresh my memory about some of the things we've learned. And I've been trying to think that way and put that into practice, all the things you said. I think about, with all that's been going on lately, I think about my own story and how really the way I grew up colors my thinking. I had certain formative experiences, you know, like we learn about in 101 and 201, all throughout faith walking, about how formative experiences lead to certain meanings that we make from those experiences, which lead to vows that impact the way we show up in our world today. And I think about how, as Tricia mentioned, it's so easy for me to be defensive and disagree, because my story is one where I was constantly defensive growing up. And if you didn't agree with your family, then you get yelled at or scolded upon. And I think about these folks who I don't agree with these days, who hold really strong views. And whether you're on one side or the other, you know, there's a lot of hate on both sides, you know, a lot of anger on both sides. Yeah. And I think of how their formative experiences much shaped the way they are today. Yeah. What are those? They're people who are in pain and broken, just like I am, you know, who've been hurt, who've had experiences that led them down a certain path that they made certain meanings to about how they feel towards others. Yeah. And so that allows me to have some empathy and compassion towards them. And, you know, it all begins with me, with how I've become, I've learned to have compassion on myself. Yeah. And so in a similar way to, even though I don't agree with them, to see that, you know, they're human beings too, made in God's image. And as much as I don't agree with them, that I could understand that they have a different story that they grew up to. Yeah.
I love, Victor, what you bring right now. You know, this, what I hear in that is love, compassion, so connectedness, right? That is the part. Right. We can leave it just in the kind of psychological idea of connecting. But there is this other side of the connection means love. And that's what I hear you saying. So in the midst of all that is going on and how that person is happening right now, whatever little 5 seconds I see that in the news or whatever, you know, one page I read that this person wrote, I get lost in the happening of the person.
That's right.
But I miss the person, right? Mm-hmm. And I miss that the person is loved, ultimately.
That's right. Yeah.
Love is not only for those in this side or in that side, right? So I love that. So a lot of that you have shared is how kind of I see myself, right? Is the blessing of being able to see the way that I am happening too, right? What's going on inside of me, you know, how I'm showing, how I'm engaging. So it's awareness. And
that's right.
We talk about awareness a lot. And
yeah, absolutely.
Meaning making. And then you talk about love. So let's hear a bit more of that. So how do we love? I mean, what a great question. How do we love in times like this? How we love well? You know, I love well people who think like me, right? That agree with me. I love them really well, I guess, I think. But, oh my gosh, if the call is to love, how do we love in times like this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously extremely difficult, and I don't want to make it seem like the things I said, I'm not trying to look at things through rose-colored glasses, because it's extremely difficult to put into practice. You know, we have those few seconds that Tricia mentioned where we form immediate opinions on whether we agree or disagree, and then oftentimes, I could get defensive in those moments. So I think for me to love someone else, especially when I know and I'm aware of, as you mentioned, Marcos, this awareness is so important, aware of the things going on in me, is to pause and just take a step back and learn to manage my anxiety, which is, you know, of course, something we talk about constantly in faith walking. You know, I recognize all these things going on me inside me, you know, my heart quickening, my face getting flushed, that I'm getting angry, you know, my stomach clenching. And then I need to take a step back and think, you know, okay, and collect myself, you know, what is this person really saying? You know, what's going on inside me? Why am I feeling the way I am? And like Tricia mentioned, for me to love that person is to give them an opportunity to speak and listen, at least, and to come from a stance of not being judgmental. And this takes years of practice, obviously, and being in the situation to practice it, of course. But that's what comes most immediately in, to mind for me to love, is to manage my anxiety, take a step back and listen to the other person. And, you know, that helps to form that connection. And I think perhaps bridges could be built from that.
That's great. Tricia, what would you say about love?
I would agree that it's the hardest thing we do. And in polarized times, we're really tempted to find the people, like you said, who are like me, because that's where I feel safe, and to get into an echo chamber. And Jesus had some things to say about that. You know, if you only love those who love you, what good is that? I mean, he was pretty clear. And I like that, you know, when I took 301, I was encouraged to deliberately form relationships with people who are different from me. There is nowhere else in my life where I am held accountable for forming relationships with people who are different. And in doing that, every vow I have gets brought to the surface, right? Because I have one vow that is about fitting in and, you know, belonging. And so there's a part of me that can really be a chameleon that will let go of what I think and what my opinion is, you know, if I'm in the presence of someone who sees things differently. Then I'll go off and talk about them and how wrong they are, but I won't define myself in, you know, because this vow says, be who you need to be in order to fit in. But then I also have this other vow about being right, you know, where I really like to, especially if I'm in a place where I know I'm more articulate and I could go in for the kill, to want to do that, you know, to want to put someone who's wrong in their place. And so all these vows surface in me when I deliberately put myself in relationship with people who are different from me. And then I have to do all the work that we've learned to do in faith walking about living instead into vows about love rather than vows about fitting in or being right.
And you know, it is work.
Is so much work. Yes.
But that is where meaning making comes helpful, right? It's work. I mean, who wakes up, right? And say, I mean, I want to do this. But the truth is, what if we see that as practice, right? What if this practice, and you know, just thinking about love, you know, I'm present of two things, but one is how, what if I could be that presence that loves? What if that, maybe it's not little Marcos of the my first formation of the vows. I love the little Marcos, but it's not a little Marcos of I don't like this, I don't want to do this, but maybe it's crazy Marcos, right? Well, what if I could reach out and love? I don't have to agree.
Right.
We had several examples that you say in the Bible.
Where did we get this idea that I have to agree with you to love you? I mean, that's so opposite of everything Jesus said. And how he lived. So.
But it seems that this takes a different, I'm going to call it this way, a different center. Right? So I don't know if that happens for you. I wake up, right? And after whatever practice I have, or, you know, when I'm usually good, I promise I'm going to be good. I'm going to be a good Marcos today, the best Marcos that I can. But then, you know, by some moment during the day, I feel that the direction of my internal relationship capability changes. It's towards me. I don't like this. It's kind of a negative deal, right? I don't like this. This is scary. They are wrong. It is always towards sort of a negative energy, right? I have those moments. I wish it would be more often when it is positive, when I am thinking, what if I can love? That's a pull. It pulls me into this, right? Yeah. And it they call that the center. So which center, which direction my center is operating, sure, the negative or the positive, right? So I would love to hear what practices you might have experienced that help you, because that's about awareness, right? So we can love, right? And we can be defined and connected. What about practices? What helps you be in the right center and operate from the right place?
Sure. Well, it's funny you mentioned that. When you're talking about that, the immediate thoughts come to mind is that as a faith walker, I continue to struggle with finding my center sometimes. You know, I feel like one thing that faith walking helps to keep me accountable with and to bring to my awareness is the idea of a spiritual workout. And I know that's been termed in various ways depending on your church upbringing or, you know, your spiritual upbringing. But having this time during the day to reflect and to think about and envision how you want to, how I want to show up during the day, it is immensely helpful. On my drive here, half an hour on my drive here, you know, I was thinking, what would it be like if, like you were saying, Marcos, if I showed up as a person who's loving today? How do I love my kids, my wife? How do I love others that I encounter today? And I actively think about and reflect about things that might have triggered me in the past or usually trigger me, and how I can envision myself showing up differently and being the person I want to be. And so living this reflective life, you know, this, which is part of our mental model of discipleship, is so crucial. I think that having those few minutes to reset yourself, to come to your center, as you put it, to refresh myself. If you do this over and over, if I do this over and over again consistently, I think helps me progressively to become the person I want to be, you know, that I think Jesus calls me to be.
Yeah. I love that idea that practices the things that we do over and over consistently. That's good. Couple of practices that I've had for years that are coming in really handy these days. One is that I pray the prayer of St. Francis every morning. Mm-hmm. That centers me, that expresses for me who I want to be.
Yeah. Could you remind us of the prayer? They would be great.
Sure.
Many people might not know, right?
Yeah, so of course I'm going to blank on it right now.
Whatever is strife, is that one? Whatever is strife, make me...
Yeah, I do this every single morning.
It's okay. It's okay.
Give me just a second. You have to promise to edit this out.
You can continue. If you remember, you will bring it to us.
So it starts, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, pardon. Mm-hmm. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. And then it just gets better from there, you know. So, yes,
right. Like today.
Exactly. Yeah. And that centers me. And it ends with saying, you know, that it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life, which just reminds me of the backward, upside down message of the gospel, right? That the gospel, the gospel is not about how do I win, or how do I dominate, or how do I get power for my side.
It's the great reversal.
Mm-hmm. Right? The great reversal, yes. Yeah, I'm listening to all these little children, and I'm thinking about Jesus saying, become like a little child. Yeah. I mean, seriously, he was saying, stop trying to get power. Uh-huh. You know, take the posture of a child. Yes. And, you know, that speaks to me. So that's one. A second practice, which is a way I practice managing anxiety, is that I deliberately expose myself to points of view that I know I will disagree. Yeah. You know, I know what show on the radio or what website to visit that I know is going to expose me to things that are going to make me anxious. Yeah. And I deliberately do that to practice reminding myself that these people are children of God, that they are living into their vows, some of which are on full display, that there may be even some truth to what they're saying that I need to open myself up to. So that's another one. And then another practice is dialogue, which we work on at the end of Faith Walking 201, and particularly that part about inquiry. I have taken on, just in the last few months, when I become aware that someone in my circle holds a really different point of view than I do, I Facebook message them and ask them if they would help me understand. Especially if I feel like, if I find myself saying, I think you are a good person and I have no idea how you can think what you think. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a way to find out how they think, and that is to ask. And then I just shut my mouth and listen. And that is another practice that's been really helpful.
Yeah, great practices. And you know what I love, and I just want to highlight about that. So how is that you can know somebody that you might love, right? And suddenly when you're exposed to a way of thinking that is different than yours, how is that you can think this way? So what if we use that frame and we start with generosity, right? And Brené Brown talks about the generosity stance, right? What if I assume the best of people?
Yeah.
And I try to dialogue and inquiry.
Yeah.
Help me see.
At the very least, I can assume that they think what they think for reasons that make sense to them. At the very least, you know, that they didn't wake up this morning deciding to be irrational and hateful.
Yes.
Maybe some people do. But most of the people in my life didn't do that.
Yeah.
And so at the very least, I can assume that what they think makes sense to them.
Yeah, that's great. I love it. Well, thank you. Yeah. This is very helpful. I just finished with this. I think you mentioned that, Victor. So if I am doing all this work, I'm talking faith walking now, right? To learn to be compassionate with myself. What would be the point of being so compassionate with myself and lose the capacity to be compassionate with those who don't think like me? Mm-hmm. You know? So it goes two ways. Yeah. And what a hopeful idea in times like that, you know, compassion. Mm-hmm. Like Francis. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we're on this journey together.
Yes. Absolutely.